All right, God is good.
Yes, he is.
He is always good, even when, particularly when we're not, God is always good. Well, just a couple of things. I know some of you knew that my grandson was having all kinds of, he was born really premature months. And he weighed less than 2 pounds, so he was really tiny. But man, I went to see him yesterday, finally. He's at home now, and he weighs 10 pounds, I think, close to 10 pounds.
Wow.
So he's like, just looked to me just like regular baby, was smiling, laughing, looking at my daughter, and he was all excited. You know, he looks like he's about 5 months old, but he would be older than that. I don't know. He was due in December, but he was born in August. So, can you hear me?
Yeah,
barely. Okay. So anyway, he is doing well. So it's a miracle. And then my daughter told us stuff that happened during the whole thing that we didn't even know about ourselves.
Right.
Just miracles that God did. You know, he had an infection and got healed. And the doctors were shocked that he could even go home. So he's doing well. He's got pudgy little, just a fat little baby.
What's his name?
His name is Brendan. Brendan Gabriel.
10?
What?
10 pounds?
Yeah, he weighs about 10 pounds now. So he went from, he just looks like a regular baby now. So anyway, it's good. God is good. God always provides, takes care of everything. Even in the midst of all the troubles, that's when he does his best work.
Oh, yeah.
When we're in trouble. So even though the nation, the world is in trouble, perilous times, the Bible calls them, it's still God always provides.
That's still the news we need to hear.
Yeah.
Not the news of the world.
Right.
Because that's not going to nourish us. It's going to keep us fearful.
Exactly right.
I just recognize that more and more every day that I need to shut out all those voices.
Yeah.
Just like Jim says, you don't study the counterfeit to be a good counterfeiter.
You study the
real $100 bill.
Right, exactly.
So we need to just be immersed.
Right.
Knowing.
That's right.
And His Son, Jesus Christ. And then all that other stuff goes by the wayward, you know?
It does.
I mean, we're not ignorant of His devices. Just by knowing the truth, we can watch anything or hear anything and know.
That's a lie.
That's a lie.
Yep. That's exactly right.
So why are we studying the lie? Why do we keep filling our time with listening to, everything that Biden did on his first week in office? Who cares?
Yeah.
anything.
That's right. Yeah.
We know to pray for him. We don't need to, but that stuff just gets me angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
So it's not doing anything for my spirit.
Yeah. That's right. Because you have to meditate on the word day and night. So there's nothing else to meditate on. You can't meditate on all your problems and all the world's problems. And I'm like that. I'm like you, Will. So I don't do all that. I get information. So what? I don't even have to watch the news because I know my wife will tell me.
Yeah.
Or I know somebody will tell me, so I don't even have to know exactly what's going on. Plus, you can't know everything. You can't know everything. You just can't. Because you're not God. Only God knows everything.
The funniest thing that you'll find out is if you watch any movie, it's going to tell you what's coming. I mean, when we were kids,
I know, it's crazy.
We watch movies, and we go, that's science fiction. It'll never happen. And that and other things have happened.
I know.
In fact, 2006,
that's true.
Bill Gates Foundation made a movie called Pandemic.
Yeah.
And they're haunted, eerily haunted about how accurate it is.
Yeah.
And that it even started in a small Asian village market.
Yeah.
So In 2017, they predicted this stuff. Why? Because they released it.
Yep.
I mean, so it's just the devil. They tell on themselves. They sit and they're just blatant what they do. So it doesn't do me any good to get mad about it, work myself up about it, tell people about it.
Yeah.
Because the eyes of the people around are blinded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was just I was just reading a scripture the other day in 1 John. It said that the world does not know you, and it cannot know you. So even if you, no matter what you do, they don't know who you are. They don't even know who you are. Even though they have all the technology to find out our credit score and how much money we make and who we are, and in that sense, so what? But they don't know who we are. They don't know that we're a new creation.
Yeah.
In Christ.
Shepherd.
So we don't have any illusion that this world's going to make it. It's not. The Bible's clear. In the world, you have trouble. And then in the end, the world's fading away in the lust thereof. So there's no hope in this world. None. Because it's just all based on a total lie. Everything is a lie except for this word. And you can't trust anything except for this word. The Bible never says trust in the Lord, but also trust in your doctor, or trust in Pastor Jim, or trust in anything. You trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord. That's all he wants. And God will take care of everything else. So we don't have to worry, be fearful, be anything. Even though we are, because we're human. The first thing when they were going to destroy Judah, Jehoshaphat, this is the time of Jehoshaphat. The first thing he did was fear. Because he was afraid. So he was afraid. But then he set himself to seek the Lord. And then everything worked out good, and God destroyed all the enemy, and everything worked out good because he set himself to seek the Lord. So once you seek the Lord, then all your troubles are over.
Yeah.
Everything is over. And you love not your life even unto death. And you trust in the Lord. So God takes care of everything. He takes care of, even during this whole time, since this pandemic, whatever it is, they call it and all that, that's a lie too, but is that God, nothing's changed. God, I ask God, I go, God, what do? Just do what you're doing. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep praying for your family. Doing all the things you're already doing. Because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The gospel has not changed a bit.
That's right.
It's the same gospel. Jesus. It'll always be. It's for all eternity. Because God's word is eternal. And that's why you have eternal life, because of his word. And his word, we live by faith, but we also have experiences. We also have, we know God. Even if you have faith, then you will have a substance. You'll have something, a down payment in this world that God will show you a token for good. So you'll know there's a God in heaven. Like Brendan getting healed and making it home and other babies in the same ICU, they passed away and they didn't make it. So a lot of babies didn't make it. But maybe so God always takes care of us, no matter what, no matter what. And plus, we're just sojourners here. We're just pilgrims in this world. We are a peculiar people, a special people set apart. I know you don't look at yourself that way a lot, but I do. I look at you guys that way. I look at myself that way. We're the pillar and ground of the truth. That's it. There's no other truth in the world. There's none except in this church, except in the church down the street. And the church is a pillar and ground of the truth. It's got everything. It's got the foundation. We got Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So we have everything, and the world has nothing. All they have is a lie. Everything in this world is just fiction. It's just an illusion. Oh, I'm going to be a great sports guy, or I'm going to, make it in this world. But you will because of God, not because you're great. But you have to. You can't go to the world, to Egypt for counseling, for all your stuff. You got to go to God, like Wilson. You got to meditate on the Word of God day and night, and you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Then you can live in any situation, in any environment. You know, I've been to Africa and I've been to Europe. I've been to a few places and. It's the same there. Even though their laws are different and they're, you know, and everything's, you know, oh my gosh, you're going to die of this disease and that disease. I don't care about that stuff. That is worthless information sometimes because I'm living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Yeah.
Sure, I could die anytime. Jesus, when he came to this earth, was so vulnerable. He was a baby. And he lived, you know, the Romans, they were trying to kill, Herod was trying to kill him, and then his own family thought he was, when he got older and started his ministry, they thought he was crazy, and the first sermon he ever preached, I just read that this morning in Luke, they took him to the brow of the hill and they were going to chunk him off and kill him. But it wasn't his time. That's the same for you. It's not your time. When it's your time, it's your time. When it's not, it's not. And it's not your time. So you live in this world, then you are salt and light in this world. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anything. Nothing else matters. You're salt and light because the Bible says you are. So you have to just believe that. Even if you don't say anything, just your very presence in a room, your very presence at work makes all the difference. It does. You don't think it does, but it does. Just by walking into a room... And being there, you're the light of the world. And then it's up to God to do everything. Because he's in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, then he has to do it. He has to give you the words to say. He has to give you the good attitude and all that stuff that we don't have. Because we don't have all that stuff. God's our total resource for everything. And you are that way. You just don't see it. Or think about it, but when you go, you have great favor in this world, and when people see you, they say, no, that person's different. Even though they might not say it, or they might be mad at you, or they might hate you, it doesn't matter. You're the salt and the light, the pillar in the ground, the truth. You are eternal. You are a special, special people. Separate. God took Willis in his family, and he took them and he separated them out from the world. No, these are mine, and then the wicked, they'll all perish. Well, we don't, because we have eternal life. And we'll never, ever, 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 ever experience the wrath of God, ever. Because the wrath of God was abiding on you when before you were a Christian, when you became born again, no more. So you don't have any wrath. You don't have any, God's not angry with you or upset or gonna. He might chasten you. So what? That's what the Word of God does. Now I'm going to read out of 1 Peter, and I'm just going to read this, and I don't even know what I'll comment on it or not. This is 1 Peter chapter 1. This is going to describe to you your life. It's going to describe the world. It's going to describe everything. Peter did not write a lot of the New Testament, but what he wrote was really powerful because he was too busy getting rebuked by Paul, so he didn't have time to write. But every problem has to be solved. God had to do all that because people were wicked. Even Peter, even Paul, even all of them, they had to solve that Jewish problem because it was a problem. It still is to this day. The Jews are a problem for the whole world, for the people that hate them, the people that love them, the people, you know, they're just a problem. They always have been because they're contrary to, contrary to all men. They just won't, you know, they just won't submit to the thing, God's protocol, God's plan. They won't submit to it, so they're going to have problems. Same with their relatives, the Muslims and the different countries that are part of that whole family. their whole relationships with the Moab and Ammon and all, and you know, modern day Jordan and all that area. That's all Israel's relatives. So all problems will be solved by God. Already has everything solved. So your life is over. Once you became a Christian, your life was over. You're a new creation. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So that workmanship means you're a new creation. That's what it means in the Greek. It means you're a new creature that never was before, brand new. You're not just fixed up. Well, God changed my life and fixed me up a little bit. No, He didn't. He made you a new creation. And just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's real. I'm a new creation. I'm not part of this world anymore. Amen. I'm a soldier, and it's going to say it right here. Okay, this is verse 1 of chapter 1 of 1 Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect, that's you, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto an obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. In other words, the obedience, Jesus was obedient. Jesus was obedient to death, even the death of the cross, despising the shame. He endured the cross for you. Jesus actually became sin for you who knew no sin, so that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So it was all for you. Do you know everything in the Bible is for you?
Amen.
Particularly for you.
Yes.
Not in general. Particularly for you. God, all the prophets of old, Moses, Abraham, Enoch, Cain and Abel, doesn't matter, Adam and Eve, all that was for you. Written for you. For today. For this day. For this age. It wasn't written for Moses. It wasn't written for Abraham. It was written for them too, but it was really particularly written for us. All the it's going to say that here in a minute. So isn't that powerful?
Amen.
That means God's really impressed with us. He's not impressed with us. But He loves us, and He has a plan, and He has a purpose. He has a promise that was already done. Jesus already lived His life for you. Everything's already done. All He wants Willis to do now is to rest. He doesn't want him to work. He doesn't want him to be a good person. He doesn't want him to be a good husband. He doesn't want him to be a good anything, because you're not a good anything. He wants to do everything for you, in you, and through you. And once you know that, then you're at rest. Because now you're not striving. Oh, I wish I was good. Or I wish I didn't eat that ice cream or whatever. Well, you're not going to be good ever. And you're amazed when you do good. I am. When I do good work, I'm like amazed. I'm like, wow, definitely wasn't me. So when you love somebody, it's a miracle. Everything to me is a miracle.
Yeah.
I wake up in the morning, I am amazed that I'm a Christian. I'm amazed. I think my family is too. They're amazed that I'm a Christian. And I'm amazed. I'm like, wow, God, you're so merciful and kind. And I rejoice in that every day. I don't rejoice in the fact that He healed me. I rejoice that I'm a Christian. I can't believe it, that Jesus loves me. I'm His child. I'm born again. I'm a new creation. That's, to me, it's just, I can't even believe it. I'm just amazed every day. So anyway, elect according to God. So this is, when God, all that word elect means, if you want to boil it down to a simplest term, I mean, I know there's predestination, all this other stuff, but it just means you're God's favorite. It means Willis is God's favorite, not Pastor Jim, not David, definitely not Pastor Jim. He's in the hot water most of the time. But we're His favorite. We're all His favorite. So when we wake up in the morning, God's excited. Man, what have we got in store for Willis today? I mean, we're going to do this. You know, he's excited. Because we're His favorite. So that's perfect. And you got to look at it that way too. I'm God's favorite. Okay. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy His mercies are new every morning for a particular reason. Hath begotten us, in other words, he adopted us again into a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is just basically the gospel. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. That means you cannot corrupt or defile or in any way change your inheritance. It's set. That means when Willis goes to heaven, he gets everything. If you get Jesus Christ, you get all things, everything. So God's going to give you everything because you're his son. You're not just some servant or bondservant or a slave. You're actually his son, daughter. So you get everything. Whatever Jesus gets, that's what you get. Like, wow, that's amazing. Because he's going to inherit all things. God is reconciling the world to himself through Jesus Christ. So when you get Jesus, you got everything. You got the whole world. The meek will inherit the earth. So we'll get everything. We'll get new heavens, a new earth, a new body, incorruptible, everything. So that inheritance, but you can't see it. Moses looked for a city whose foundations were not of this world. We're not something that you could see with your physical eyes or anything like that. This is something that's foundation that is in heaven. And I look forward to it. There's nothing wrong with looking forward to that. But don't be deceived. It'll be better than you think. If you prayed for something, I don't care, finances or whatever, God always does above, abundantly above all you can ask or think. But you can't see it. You have to look. You have to look with faith. But you can't see it. So every time I pray, I remember that scripture, and I say it at the end of my prayer, well, God, you'll even do abundantly above all we can ask or think. Because I'm not praying. My prayers are worthless. It's the Holy Spirit in me. I don't know how to pray as I ought. I don't know anything. I know nothing. I don't know anything. Only thing I know is what God reveals to me and shows me, and that's his deal. It's not mine. I can't figure stuff out and, you know, figure my life out, figure my wife out. You can't figure women out. You just can't. I'm just telling you out. You can't. I just can't figure her out. One day she's awesome and great, and next day she's mad at me, and I don't even know why. And if you ask them, they don't know why either exactly. So, you know, we don't know anything. Only God knows. Only God knows. Okay. That's why we look to him all the time. That's why we set our face, like Jehoshaphat did, to seek the Lord, to seek his face. To beholding him, we are changed.
Yes.
You're not going to be changed by watching CNN.
Amen.
You're not going to be changed by watching even a Fox News or,
that's right,
or some conservative thing or some kind of conspiracy or something. You're not going to be changed by that. You'll only be changed by beholding him.
Amen.
So when you have Jesus, you have everything. You have all the protection, all the love, all the joy, all the peace, all the fruit of the Spirit. Now, a fruit of the Spirit that no one likes. Everybody likes love, joy, peace, meekness, and all that kind of stuff. But when you get down to temperance, self-control, then Christians are out on that. Because nobody wants self-control. That's the problem with this world. No one's self-governing. No one has any self-control. They just do whatever. There's no fear of God. They just do whatever they want. They eat what they want. They drink what they want. They do what they want. They watch TV what they want. They do everything what they want. And they make provision for the flesh. And I'm just talking about the church. I'm not talking about the world. So everything we do is not based. And I'm the worst. So what I have to do every day is say, God, I go through the fruit of the Spirit. But I know that's my sin. You okay? So the sin is not that I don't have love, joy, peace. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Yes, it is.
So I have all that. But God, come on, man. I have no self-control. I'm evil. I just eat what I want. If I eat something, or well, you know, I'm just using it as an example. It's a lot of stuff. I need self-control. But you know what you got to do to get self-control, Willis? You got to die to yourself. You got to totally die to your flesh every day. But it's a gift. I'm not looking at it as something I have to achieve or something. I'm looking at it as it's a gift. You know why? Because self-control is from heaven. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. It's temperance. Hey. So it's self-control is something that most Christians don't even think about or want, but it talks about a lot in the Bible. You have to be sober-minded. I don't know, God. That just seems so religious. But it's not. Self-control and soberness is just a fruit of the Spirit. It's something you get as a gift from God. It has nothing to do with you being diligent or you being whatever. It only has to do with Jesus. So I pray for that. I go, God, give me self-control, but I'm not going to help you out. Because I know, my flesh. My flesh does not want to have self-control. Do you know your flesh is contrary to God? It hates God. It's at enmity against God. It's in cahoots with the devil. So your flesh can come out in all kinds of ways. It's tricky. You just got to trust God. Because you could have a nice guy flesh. You can have your wicked flesh. You could have your vain flesh. You can have all kinds of different kinds of flesh.
Your holy flesh?
Right, your holy flesh, your religious flesh. You can have all kinds of flesh. So you have to die to all that every day. So every day I go, God, I need self-control, but I'm not going to help you out. I repent because I have no self-control. So forgive me. And I know it's a gift from heaven because it comes from heaven. It's a fruit of the Spirit. I know I have it, so I just thank you for it. But I can't help you out. I have no ability to help you out. Don't even want to help you out. You got to do it. And that's how you deal with all your sin. Because you cannot overcome sin by overcoming sin. You overcome sin by beholding Him. Hallelujah. By looking at Jesus. Amen. By reading this word. And it kills you. Because then you have to, man, I sure wish I could do this, this, and this. But God wants me to read the Bible, you know. My little son makes fun of me. He goes, what does he say? I forgot what he says. Something like, Dad, you're so holy. All you do is read your Bible, or something like that. I don't know what but he's not saying it in a good way. He's teasing me, is what he's doing. So I know how that works. Okay, so we have an inheritance. Incorruptible, that means it cannot be changed, it cannot rust, it cannot be taken away, it cannot be altered in any way. It's solid. Your inheritance is not like an inheritance here where it can be challenged or there's going to be a lawyer come and take all your money or whatever. It's nothing like that. This is immutable. It's unchangeable, just like Jesus. Because you're going to inherit God Himself. You're the house that He's building. You're the house. People go, man, I can't wait till I get to my mansion in heaven. Well, you are the mansion. You are the house. So that's awesome. That's even better. Whatever it is, it's abundantly above all you can ask or think. Undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. If God reserves something, then it's set. You cannot change it. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When Jesus says something or God, the Holy Ghost says something, it cannot be changed, altered. But we have a more sure word of prophecy in His book. Even more sure than God Himself speaking to Peter, James, and John on the Holy Mount. That's what Peter said. He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Even that, because that could be a trick. I mean, I don't know about that. I don't know about experiences and what I feel, think, and what I want to do. I don't know about that, but I know this word is solid and sure. It's a sure word of prophecy. It cannot be changed. It's eternal. That's how awesome this word is. It's eternal. Okay. Who are kept by the power of God. So you are kept by God. I'm not kept by the power of Danny or the power of this or that or my own or vitamins or...
Power of God.
Yes, the power of God. Power of God keeps you. Yeah. It's the only thing that keeps you in this world, you from dying or disappearing even or disintegrating. Everything in the world is held together by Jesus Christ. That means He knows everything. You know, He's the governor of all nations. He's the governor of the United States. So whatever's going on in the United States is for your good, for your correction, for your benefit. So everything in the United States, our leaders, Biden, whatever, Trump, all the leaders we have, you pray for them. And you know what I do? I pray for them, and I love them, and now I have a quiet and peaceful life. Because that's what God wants. It says it in the Bible. So that we might live a quiet and peaceful life in this world. That's what I want. But if you look at the news, if you meditate on the news, oh, did you hear this conspiracy? Did you hear? Then you're going to be not have peace, joy. You'll be distraught. It's all right to know that stuff, but just know it. Don't meditate on it or worry about it. Just pray about it. A job I'm doing, they called me on the way over here. I'm about halfway here, and they called me, and they're like griping and complaining and stuff. Stuff beyond my control. But I'm just like, you know? And then I started thinking about it, meditating on it right away, like Willis was saying. I just started thinking, oh, golly. And then all this stuff comes up, my flesh, you know, I'll accuse this. They're accusing me or whatever. Poor me. You know, whatever. So what I did, I go, no, I got to remember the word. I just pray about everything, cast all your cares on the Lord, and he'll take care. So then I prayed, and I gave it all to God, cast all my cares on him, all of them. That was a care. I didn't even know I had it. I didn't even know I had that care, but it came like somebody just called me, hey, you got cares. So I said, no. I'm going to give that to God. Plus, that's not even today.
Yeah.
Today, you got enough problems today, enough stuff going on. Well, don't worry about tomorrow. You don't even know if you'll be here tomorrow. I don't even know if I'll be here tomorrow. I don't know. The Lord willing, I'll do this or that, and I'll go to work and make money and take care of my family. But I don't know that. Probably, but I don't know. The Lord willing, says in James, everything else is evil. If you think, I'm going to go tomorrow and I'm going to do this and that and I'm going to make money and prosper and I'm going to be awesome and blah, blah, you don't know that. Your life might be required of you that day. You don't know. So, you have to live your life every day. You have to cast all your cares on the Lord because you don't know what's going on. You know nothing. If you could get that in your spirit, if a man thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So everything beyond what's in this word is just deception. Everything.
Amen.
I mean, think about it. Every institution you can think about in this world has degenerated into total corruption. Every college, Harvard started out Christian. Yale, TCU, you can name any college. It degenerates down to just paganism. Because people just love the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and boastful pride. But Jesus overcame all that by the word of God. The devil tempted him in all those three areas. And Jesus could not start his ministry until that happened. Because Jesus had to defeat the devil, all the temptations, and he suffered. Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. So Jesus suffered. He drank a cup. He goes, Father, if this cup cannot be taken away, it was a temporary cup though. All trials, all tribulation is just temporal. It's just for a season. Everything's a short time. It says it in the Bible. So every trial I go through in this life is just temporary. It's just a short time. Even Jesus knew that. He despised his shame. And he said, Father, unless take this cup away from me, but can it be taken away unless I drink of it? Couldn't remember, he was praying in the garden. And so he had to drink of that cup. So it would be gone. He drinks the whole cup. So we drink a cup too. We have to take up our cross every day and follow Jesus. Except Jesus does it all for us, in us and through us. So we're good. So when we suffer as a Christian. You don't suffer as a worldly person. If you do, then what the, Peter says, what benefit is that if you suffer for doing evil? If I murdered somebody and I went to jail and got the death penalty, you know, well, it's my own fault. I've committed murder. So if I suffer like that, nah, that's not that interesting. But if I do good, if I'm preaching the gospel and doing good and I suffer for it, then. But you will suffer because you have to have self-control. Everybody say, I have self-control.
I have self-control.
You got to have temperance. You got to have it. It's a fruit of the Spirit. If you don't have it, then Jesus isn't real. He can't do it. But he can do it. I'm telling you, Jesus is awesome. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, so you can have self-control. Only a Christian can have self-control. You know what they call it? You know what the Bible calls it? If the world has somebody in the world has self-control, they call it will religion. It actually kills them because they're stressed all the time and they're control freaks and all that kind of stuff. So it kills them. It ends up giving them cancer or whatever because they can't handle it. It's too much to have self-control in this world if Jesus doesn't do it. Now, Jesus can do it. I'm a testimony that he can do it. I know he can do it. You guys don't know. I mean, you probably do know because you're all human, but I have no self-control. None. I can't even imagine having self-control. I couldn't even, before I became a Christian, I couldn't even imagine having any type of self-control. If my friends drank one beer, I would drink 24. If, you know, whatever the thing was, I did it way more than everybody else. Because I had no self-control. And then I became a Christian. I had that habit still. I didn't drink anymore. God delivered me from that instantly. But that's nothing. You can have not self-control and tons of stuff. Reading your Bible. And so people have little tricks they do to try to get themselves to read the Bible. Well, if I just had this human support group. Or if I had, I don't believe in all that, by the way. If I could just call so-and-so whenever I feel nervous or something. I mean, I don't know what people do. There's nothing wrong with having a prayer partner and stuff like that. But I'm just saying, you cannot trust people. Even my own wife, she's got her own agenda thing going on, which I don't even know what it is, but it's something. But she's not. I mean, when I go to work, I'm by myself. I don't have anybody, no support group. I mean, I just got to talk to Jesus. You know, that's all you got, and that's all you got too. So having a friend or having somebody that you lean on all the time or whatever, that's not good. You got to lean on Jesus. And you can have. I have really good friends, and I love them dearly, but I don't lean on them or trust them. I just, because you're a giver. You're not a taker. You're a giver. You give. Whatever God gives you, you just give it out freely. If God loves you, then you love people. Otherwise, they become idols. Or they become, it's idolatrous. So I don't trust that. I don't trust the fact that I trust somebody. You know, I don't trust that. I trust in Jesus. And then God, then I can love people freely without any expectation. But I tell you, people do it all the time. Excuse me. They love people, and then they want something in return. Don't you like me? Aren't I likable? Like, I did a job for this superintendent yesterday at his house. It was, I think the guy that owns the company was doing a special favor for him, so I was putting some shades in his house. And He goes, I'm going to pay you this such and such amount of money. I said, no, you don't have to pay me. We're just doing it. My boss or whatever, the guy that I'm working for told me just to put him in. It's no, you don't have to pay me. He goes, no, I want to pay you. I don't want people, I don't want you to think that I'm not a nice guy. If he would not, he did pay me, by the way. He gave me, he really blessed me, actually. But I know his motivations were totally wrong, or they weren't. I mean, it's okay to want to be nice and all that, but that's a lot of pressure. Now he's got to keep that up. He messes up one time and I'm not going to like him. No, that's not true. That's not true. But he didn't know me because he's a worldly guy. He doesn't know who I am.
Yeah.
He didn't know I could have done it for nothing. I wouldn't even have cared. Because I'm doing it as unto the Lord anyway. I don't care if you pay me or not. I really don't. Because I'm just doing this because as a favor or whatever. I don't know. I'm just doing it. And because the guy that owns the company is a good, precious brother of mine, and so I love him, and I only do what I feel like God wants me to do, and I bless him all the time. I'll do stuff, I'll help him out and stuff like that, but he's a good brother, and the Bible says do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. So I'm gonna bless him. I'm gonna do whatever God says. To love my neighbor. But do I do it perfect? No. Do I have self-control? No. But just remember that most Christians do not like that word. Temperance, self-control, sober-minded, things like that. Because everybody wants love, joy, peace, meekness, goodness, temperance. You know, I want all that stuff. Which temperance is self-control. So it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's the same exact. If it's a gift, it's a gift. Then all you got to do is ask for it. All you got to do is receive it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't even have to have self-control. You just believe it. That you have self-control because you're the Spirit of God lives in you. You are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then I have self-control. And God, I'm not going to help you do it. Only God does wondrous works, and only God does wondrous works. Signs and wonders, God does those. You don't do those. Oh, so-and-so healed me. They did not. God did. Or so-and-so led me to the Lord. No, that was the Holy Spirit. That was the Father. That was Jesus. Everything's God, so He gets all the glory. If Abraham merited anything in his walk with the Lord, then he has a boast. It says in Romans chapter 4. But not before God. Because it's by faith. Faith eliminates all that. Faith eliminates all glorying in your flesh. It eliminates all human effort. It eliminates everything. And that's how you'll be judged. You'll be judged by all the work that Jesus did, not by all the work you did. Yeah, God, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons and blah, blah, blah. He goes, depart from me, I never knew you. So you have to know Jesus. And that's it. That's your only, you got one job in this world. And you're failing miserably. Is to know Jesus. That's it. You don't have a job to be a good roofing company or to be a good husband or to be a good father. God gives you all that stuff for free. Your one job is to keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Yep. Beholding Him, you are changed. And God wants you to change. But He wants to do it. Because He doesn't want you to change yourself. He'll do it. Okay, so I'm going to keep reading. Who are kept by the power of God through faith into a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. It's not revealed. It doth not yet appear who Willis is. Or what Alec. Who Alec. It doesn't yet appear. But when we see him, we'll be like him. And we'll see him as he is. And we'll be just like him. Won't be him, but we'll be just like him. So, in that scripture, it's in 1 John. It's saying that we're building up to a point. There's always a beginning, a middle, and an end to everything. Guess why God did it? Time. The ages, the Bible calls them. So there was a time when the world was created, although Jesus was already crucified from the foundations of the world. Although everything was already done, you're a new creation before that. So God already had a plan, His foreknowledge. God knows everything. He sees everything. He's all powerful. That guy had everything planned out. My life. And I'll make it. And you'll make it too. Because of His power, not your power. Even if they chop your head off, which they might. Heck, there's a lot of things that happened in the last 10 years I thought would never happen, happened in our country. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But that's not our problem. We already know what's going to happen because we read it in the Bible. We know that God is going to subdue all things. He'll come back. Jesus will come back, you know, and with vengeance. And he'll have a sword coming out of his mouth, and it's not going to be good for the wicked or for the devil or for the Antichrist or for the false prophet. They have hell to pay, right? But we don't. It's already been taken care of on the cross. Because we trust in Jesus. We trust in the cross. What he did on the cross, all the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ. And even for the world, the whole world. But they don't know it. Because they've never been taught. They've never been... They rejected or whatever. And the Jews, too, they rejected Jesus, the cornerstone, the very cornerstone of their religion. The very center... The epicenter of their religion they denied. It's crazy. Even when I was growing up as a Catholic, the very thing that the church is, Jesus Christ, they rejected. Because we're his body. We're the body of Christ. And they rejected the very head. And they made somebody else the head. Antichrist. You know there's always been Antichrist? The Pope. Whatever, priest. There's always Antichrist. The Antichrist is not a non-religious person. They're religious people. That's the great deception in this world. It's not the Catholics, although they're part of it. Not the Muslims, not the blah, blah, blah. But it's actually the Jews and the Christians. Even Paul said the Jews... killed all their prophets. They tortured them, killed them. They even killed the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're contrary to all men. And those are the people that we love. Those are the people that we have to show mercy to. And of course we show mercy to everybody. But so don't think that God loves the Jews because they're good people. It's because he made a promise to Abraham. Amen. That's it. God made a promise. He always keeps his promises. Israel will get all their land. Everything will turn out exactly the way it's supposed to. Because he promised. And his word cannot be altered, changed. It's immutable. So if God says, rejoice in the Lord always, that's a promise. And it cannot be changed. And we'll do it. Before this world's over, we will rejoice in the Lord always. Even though you don't do it now, even though we're just doing it by faith, it's still unchangeable. God promised. And just like that scripture I just read, it's by his power. He's the only one that has power. Remember Jehoshaphat when he prayed? He said, God, we don't know what to do. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know what to do. And we have no power. So we're sunk unless you come and do it. And God did. He sent a priest and the priest prophesied. And then Joseph had encouraged the people and then they went up and then it was already done. They were all dead already. They didn't even have to even fight or lift a finger. Because you know what? When the priest prophesied, he said, the battle is not yours but the Lord's. It's God's battle. What's going on today in the world is unsolvable by Christians. You cannot solve it. You cannot. It's not solvable. Only God can do it. Amen. You just seek the Lord.
Amen.
And God will give you all the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, meekness, goodness, temperance, self-control, faithfulness, meekness, and all that stuff. You can't even humble yourself. You can do nothing without God, without Jesus. So let's keep reading. Wherein you greatly rejoice, so now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, that the trial of your faith, or the, you know what that really means? It means the genuine faith. If you have genuine faith, then it'll be tested. But you'll win every time. You'll pass the test every single time. Because it's genuine. It's not fake faith. It's genuine. So God only tries those that have genuine faith. Because you have, it's not for Him. He already knows you have awesome faith because it's Him. It's Jesus. He already knows you have faith because He's given you. He's given every man a measure of faith. Every man. So if it's genuine faith, then it'll be tested to see if it's genuine. God already knows it's genuine. He's not stupid. He wants you to see that it is. Wow, I went through this trial and God delivered me. That's a miracle. I had faith or something, you know. That was a miracle. That was genuine faith. So He's going to test your faith being much more precious than gold. In other words, it's more precious than anything in this world can offer. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then it lists all the things. Abraham with Isaac, Noah, Cain and Abel. It goes through the whole Old Testament in Hebrews chapter 11. Everything they did was, even Rahab the harlot, when she hid the spies, she did it by faith. She could have been killed easily. She for one thing, she was just a harlot, which are nobodies, and then she was, you know, hid the spies. If they would have known that, man, she'd be dead. But God, in His wisdom and in His mercy, because she did that by faith, because she didn't know that Israel was going to win, but she believed God. I'm sure Rahab must have heard something about Jesus or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So she hid the spies by faith, knowing that Israel was going to win. How did she know that? Well, that had to be from God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. She must have heard something. Man, these Israelites, man, they got a real God. Not like our God. Our God's just man-made. You know, everything in the world's made up just out of somebody's imagination, just demonic. Every religion, every denomination, everything institution in this world is just made up by man. It has nothing to do with God. Man just made it up. So it degenerates down to, you know, basic sin. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of my life. Says, I wish we were more noble than that, but man is not more noble than that. We're just pretty basic. You know, they used to say in the 60s, when I was growing up, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's basically what it was. That's basic. Man is that basic. It's not like we have some sophisticated intellectual sin. No, it's just all basic. Okay, so we're going to be tried. A gold that perishes through it be tried with fire might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Well, praise God. That's God's work. So if He does it, you know, when Jesus comes back, you will be presented to Him unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Well, that's a gift. That is a joke. I mean, can you imagine Dan being that happening? Or me, or anybody. Could you imagine just standing before Jesus and unblameable? You know, and knowing that you're, you know, all the wicked things you did or whatever. It's a miracle, and it's just a gift. It's because of Jesus' blood. He became sin for you who knew no sin, so that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Unreprovable, unblameable. The devil can't even accuse you. Nothing. Nobody can. Because there's no more condemnation. Romans chapter 8. There's no more condemnation. That means you cannot be condemned. You cannot be judged. God's already judged you. And you've already been found awesome because of Jesus. You've already been found righteous, holy. We're going to read that in a minute. Be holy, for I am holy. Okay. Whom having not seen, you love. Gosh, I can't believe we love Jesus. I haven't even seen Him. I've never saw Him. The moment I got saved, I loved Him. I couldn't believe He saved me. Those who are forgiven much, love much. If you're forgiven little, you love little. Every one of you has been forgiven a lot. I don't care how you grew up, religious or non-religious or holy or whatever. That was the biggest thing in me and my wife's marriage. It took us 35 years, but I already knew I was a sinner. She had to figure out that she was a sinner too, because she grew up Baptist. She was a good person. She never sinned, ever. I don't think she's ever committed a sin in her whole life. No, I'm just kidding. She did. But she had to learn that her morality or her goodness was not going to get her to heaven or please God or make her something. So it took a long time. It took 15 years being at Emmanuel for her to figure out that, yeah, Danny's probably right. Or Jim's probably. Yeah. I'm probably not as good as I think I am. Well, that was true. But I couldn't convince her. She had to keep hearing it over and over. You had to hear the gospel over and over again. Read it. Meditate on it day and night. And then pretty soon you'll see, yeah, even though you see yourself in the light of the Word, and you see that you are wanting and you are corrupt and you are wicked to the hilt, that's just your flesh. It's okay. That's what the Word of God's for. Because He wants you to depend on His righteousness, His holiness, His justice, His peace, His joy, His gifts of the Spirit. And they're just gifts. Everything that God gives you is a sheer gift. If you have any revelation, if you have any knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a gift. If you have a good marriage, that's a gift. If you have, you know, awesome kids, whatever, that's just a gift. Everything's a gift. And even trials, even your persecutions. Remember, the disciples told Jesus, what do we get? We left everything to follow you. He goes, well, I'll tell you what, you'll get family, wife, you'll get those back, you'll get everything. Kind of like Job, he got everything back. You'll get this, you'll get that. Oh yeah, and along with that, you'll get all these persecutions also. So that's a gift, it's a promise. It's good for us, because we know we're not in this world. The world hates you, and it does. Because Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. Even religious people, the church, the false, the lukewarm church, or the whore, Babylon, they hate you. They hate you for no reason. You don't have to have a reason. They don't have a reason. Cain killed Abel because Abel's deeds were righteous and his were not. So because we have faith, yeah, faith, or we have, you know, we're happy all the time or whatever. People hate us. So the world will hate you, and they do hate you with passion. It's passionate. It's not just like a little hate. It's passionate hate. Like they would like to kill you or eliminate all Christians off the face of the earth, because they're bogging things. They're slowing things down because we are not able to conform or to be educated their way. So they hate you. Even my own family, my own relatives, they don't like me. Because I don't believe like they believe. But their lives are a total wreck and mine aren't, mine isn't. And so they respect me in that area. Like we had one of our relatives despised the facts that we homeschooled our kids. Hated us. Because she knew why we did, because we're Christians and blah, blah, blah. But all my kids turned out great. When they went to college, man, they were the best students. Everything. And their kids weren't. Their kids didn't turn out that great. And they're really super smart and educated and all that stuff. PhDs and all that stuff. But so now she knows, yeah, maybe what Leah did, you know, my wife did, wasn't so bad. Because, you know, my kids are happy, they have kids and I have grandkids and they're all doing really well. So that has nothing to do with me or my wife. It has to do with Jesus, because He promised He'd do that. Okay, let me read this real quick. Receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So there's an end of your faith. When Jesus comes back, you will not need faith anymore, because you'll see Him You won't need the substance of things so far, the evidence of things not seen, because you will see it. Isn't that weird? You'll just see Jesus and you'll see everything. You'll know all truth. You'll know everything. Because it's in Him. Truth is in Jesus Christ. He's a person. He's the way, the truth, and life. There's no other truth out there. Like Willis was saying earlier, there's no other truth. Everything else you do is a lie. It's okay, guys. I'm not mad. I do the same thing. You know, we every man's a liar. Every man. That's why I don't believe anything people say. I hate you. I don't believe that. They don't even know what they're talking about. People are liars. They lie about everything. Okay. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. This is talking about the Old Testament prophets. Who prophesied of the grace that should be come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified before in the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should be followed. So everything in the Old Testament is about Jesus. And if you read it that way, it's a blessing. I tell you, even the book of Revelations, it's a blessing to read it because it's all about Jesus. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us. Because they lived in a different age. They had the Old Testament and all that. But unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, day of Pentecost, which things the angels even desire to look into. Angels, you know, they're probably wondering, what the heck? We're angels. We're perfect. We never sinned. We're not like dirt people that sin and do all kinds of... But God, it's amazing. Isn't it merciful how awesome God is? Why did He do that? I don't even know. He came down. He sent Jesus to die, His only begotten Son, to die on a cross, to be... That's not even the worst part. He was humiliated. He was cursed. If you're hung on a tree, you're cursed. Romans knew that. Jews knew that. And they even had to take him outside the camp to do it because he was unclean. And then they spit on him. They mocked him. They put a robe on him and, you know, did all that stuff. So, and he was the king of... And he knew, Jesus knew he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was awesome. He was God Himself. He was all God and all man. He became a man so He could suffer all those things. And as suffering... When you are despised and spit on and humiliated, then it's devastating. It is. It just is. So Jesus, and plus He was taken on had to drink that cup. He had to drink all the vileness, all the wickedness of mankind, which I could go into because I know a little bit about that because I lived in the world. Plus I did a lot of research stuff on human trafficking and stuff like that. People are wicked. People you think might even be nice in the political realm or athletes or whatever that you like. They could be wicked to the hilt. And people don't even know that. I'm telling you, it'll be revealed. You'll be shocked. I can't believe that person. They were nice. I thought they were Christians. But they weren't. They're liars. Men lie. Men are just lie about everything. Particularly when they want to cover a sin. Because people like the fig leaf. Okay. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesy the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which in them did signify when it testified before in the sufferings of Christ and the glory it should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves. So it wasn't for them. It was for us. But unto us. They did the people, the New Testament, the New Covenant, this thing that God's doing, this rest that people are entering into, the Christians enter into. That's what they prophesied of. And even the angels desire to look into it. Okay, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. That means be self-controlled. There's that word again. Be sober-minded. In hope. To the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's your hope. Won't all of us here say, Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus? Yes, we would. I want Jesus to come back today, right now. But I have to wait. I have to be patient. I have to be sober-minded. God's not done with me yet. God's not the problem. Jesus is not the problem. You're the problem. As obedient children, not fashioning, conforming yourselves into the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which has called you is holy, so be holy in your all manner of conversation, all your conduct, all your behavior, everything, be holy. that's a tall task. So this is all promise, because it is written. It's written down. It's immutable. It's unchangeable. It cannot be changed. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's a promise by God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It's the only promise. And it has to be a promise. You can even study the Hebrew word. You can study the Greek. It's a promise. It cannot be a law, because you can't do it. I know right away that that's not a law. I know right away. I don't even have to even study it out or look. I know when the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy, it has to be a promise. Because I know my life. I know who I know me. I know my flesh. I am not going to be holy as He is holy. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I cannot do it. Romans chapter 7. What I want to do, I don't do. I do the very opposite of what I want to do. And I agree with the law that it's holy and it's right and it's perfect, and it is. But it has to be a promise. Because if you ever looked in your concordance, you could look at a word, and particularly that word command, you can look at it and it has like, man, it has a whole paragraph of words it means. And one of them's in there is promise, or something you tell somebody and you're commanding them to believe this is true about you. Isn't that what you do when you, Julia, when you do something, you try to tell people this is true about you. You might just be talking about their body or their mind or whatever. But people don't know that. You know, and so God's trying to tell us something that's true about us that we don't know in our flesh. Now the Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit's going, yeah, and Jesus is in us. He's in us to will to do of His good pleasure. So if Christ is in you, all the law is fulfilled in Him, not in you, in Him. Who's in you, who does the law for you, in you, and through you. So he's doing it all. He's holy because I'm holy because He's holy. It's a gift. I'm a new creation. I'm a new person. I'm a new everything. But it doesn't mean it's always going to turn out that way. So you can't kill yourself over stuff like that. People do it all the time. God, I'm not a good Christian. I'm blah, blah, blah. And which is true. But you have to rejoice anyway. You have to believe that God is, no, I'm not going to look at things I can see. Things that are unseen are eternal. Things that are seen are temporal. All your sin is temporal. I mean, you actually do it. It's already gone because Jesus, just, as far as east is from the west, your sin is gone. But what you see is not who you are. You know, if I see a Christian doing an evil deed and I know the guy or whatever, I don't condemn him. I'm like, yeah, I'd do the same thing. I never say I'm holy and you're not or whatever. I'm a better Christian than you are. There's no such thing as that. There is no such thing as a better Christian. Jim is not a better Christian than me or you or anybody. Or Raul's not a better Christian than his wife. Or it's everybody's the same. Wicked, evil. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that we got going for us is we have faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. And I believe that. I don't believe anything else. I don't believe that I have a great sense of humor, or I have this, or I don't have anything. All I have is Jesus. If it wasn't for Jesus, I would not be married right now. I would not have kids. I would not have grandkids. I would not have anything. Because the way I lived. But God freely gave me everything. I didn't even know I wanted that stuff. God gives you the desires. You don't even know what your desires of your heart are. You know nothing about anything, except you better know Jesus. That's all. Just get to know Jesus and he'll give you everything else. You don't even know the desires of your heart. I want to live out in the country. That was my big desire. It was actually in my life. So we moved out in the country. I lived out in the country for 25 years. It wasn't a mistake, but it was hard work. So it's not as great, as glorious as you. Everything in this world is not as great, as glorious as you think it is. If I just had my business would just thrive, or if this would just happen, then I'll be happy. Well, then you'll never be happy. Or if my kids serve the Lord, or if my husband gets saved, or he wouldn't have divorced me, or blah, blah, blah. People have great excuses not to serve the Lord. They have great excuses not to be happy, not to rejoice in the Lord always. But there is no excuse, because it's just in the Bible. But you can't see it. Gosh, it's so pathetic to us, because we can't see it. But you have this, things that are not seen are eternal. You won't see it. So what? Believe it anyway. It'll be more real to you than anything else in this world. But you have to believe it. Just believe it. Don't try to believe it. Just read it in the Bible over and over and over again until you believe it. That's the only thing I know to do. Because most people don't believe that. They believe when the Bible says, be ye holy. I've even heard it preached this way, for I am holy. That means you have to clean your life up. Stop smoking cigarettes. Or what if you can't? Stop drinking. Stop chewing tobacco. Stop eating ice cream. Stop this. Stop that. It's called will religion. And it never gets rid of the flesh. Ever. Never. You think it does, but it doesn't. It's just will religion. You can read it in Colossians chapter 2, I believe. All about that will religion. And it doesn't work. Abstain from this, do this, don't do this, all these laws. It's just, it calls it the elements of this world, or the ordinances of this world, or the order. The world has a certain order it follows. And it's demonic, by the way. And that's the way they follow. And you cannot convince them otherwise unless they get Jesus. Because you're not going to preach. Most Christians, when they witness to people, even I've listened to them, they witness like, you better stop doing that. Or you better be a better person. Or you better... Now, if that guy that witnessed to me would have said all that, I would have laughed in his face. I had literally no self-discipline. So if you would have said, do this and you'll be holy, I couldn't do it. I couldn't even do the simplest Catholic things, like go to communion. The simplest things that don't even take any human effort hardly at all, I couldn't even do those. So I wasn't going to be holy, ever. That's why I knew I was going to hell. But when they said, no, it's free, that's different then. If I don't have to do anything, if I don't have to be holy, if I don't have to go to communion, if I don't have to go to church or do anything, then I'm in. Because I want it. Whatever Jesus did for me, I'll take it. And I even want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't deserve that. I didn't deserve it. But God gave it to me anyway for nothing. So, everything's free gift, even being holy. If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons, God is not a respecter of persons, you're in. You are just as valuable to the body of Christ as anybody. Billy Graham, I don't care, you can name anybody. Jim, Pastor Jim, anybody. You're just as important, valuable. You're a part of the body of Christ. You are the salt and the light in the earth. You are the pillar and ground of the truth. I think that's funny. That's awesome. That God would do that. Who judges according to every man's work. Past time for your sojourning here in fear. So since you're working here, you got to fear the Lord. That's the problem in the church today. No one fears God. And all soldiering is like you're a pilgrim. You're just passing through. Nothing's permanent here, by the way. Raul's job, my job. Nothing's permanent here. My house, my neighborhood, my clothes, my dogs, my cat, Nothing's permanent. I can even see that in my own family. My children are getting older. Titus, you know, a week ago was just a baby, 5-pound baby. You know, now he's 9 years old and he's like an adult. So nothing stays the same. Everything just keeps changing. It's the same, but it's not. In the world, everything's the same. The order of this world will never change. Never. Until Jesus comes back. He had to destroy it. That's why Jesus is going to burn, the earth's going to melt and with fervent heat, and there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. Because it's worthless. It's like your flesh. Your flesh was not going to heaven. You're not going to heaven when you're flesh. Woo, I get to go up to heaven and bring all my beer with me and my cigars and whatever. So people want to bring all their sin with them, but you can't do that. You can get rid of it now. Because your flesh isn't going to heaven. You're going to have a new soul, a new body. Your body won't even go to heaven. It's corruptible. Nothing in heaven is corruptible. There's no sin in heaven. There's no laws. There's no nothing. Just Jesus. And he's a King of kings and Lord of lords. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And in hell, there's just burning and fire and brimstone and all that kind of thing. So this world's passing away in the lust thereof. For as much as you know that you... I'm going to read this real quick because I know I'm taking too much time. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers. He's talking to the Jews there, I believe. Because everybody... Religion is just... It's so wicked and evil because it's just man-made. But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as a lamb without blemish or without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, before the worlds even existed, before the ages even existed, but was manifest in these last times for you. How do we know these are the last times? Because Jesus died on the cross in the last time. So these are the last times. Who by him believed in God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, not in anything else. No hope, no faith in anything else but God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, just by obeying the truth, just by believing the truth, through the Spirit into an unfringed love for the brethren. That means it's not pretended. It's not fake. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. That's a gift. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, that means perishable seed, something that can decay or rot or disappear, but incorruptible, unperishable, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So even though you're born again, you need to be born again. Every day. Every day you read the word because you're being changed from glory to glory to glory. So the only reason why I was born again is because of that word. That's it. Jesus was the word made flesh and dwelt among us. Because then you get everything messed up. I'm just telling you, you do. People that don't have a Bible, that's why... what's that place that does all the Bible translations? Yeah, that's one of them. There's others too, but they translate the Bible into other languages so people can read the word, because it changes you. It otherwise you'll get perverted, you'll get deceived easily. Even if you do have the Bible, it's easy to get deceived. In the end times, people will be deceivers and they will be deceived constantly. People, that's all. Whole world right now is even Christians. That's why you got to guard your heart through Jesus Christ. That's why you have to meditate on the word day and night. Be happy all the time. Do whatever God says. Because you'll be deceived easily. Christians are easily deceived. Particularly in the morality. Particularly not maybe to do human trafficking or do some kind of big sin or something like that. But they'll be deceived into their morality. Oh, we all got to be good. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. But that's not true. You got to know Jesus. You can't obey God without God. You can't do anything without God. You can do nothing. Nothing. Nothing means nothing. You can do nothing without Him. So you need God. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto an unfringed love for the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For the flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man, all the glory of man, all of his glorious achievements, architectural achievements, paintings, music, you know, Mozart, Beethoven, all those guys, Vivaldi and all of them, all that glory, it's just going to fade away. The grass withereth and the flower therefore falleth away. If you've ever done any kind of agriculture, well, I've done tons of it. That's true. That verse is so right. One day you have a flourishing, beautiful garden, and right now it's winter and everything just faded away and it's just nothing. But the word of God endureth forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. So that's why we preach the word, not because we just like to hear ourselves chatter and stuff like that, which is probably partly true. But it's because when you hear something and you believe it, then you have faith. That's a gift from God. That's not you figuring it out or studying hard. Even the Bible, it says study to show yourself to prove. The word study doesn't really mean study, although that is true. You do study the Word of God. It's more like you got to be diligent, fear God, and look at everything. When you read a verse, there's probably 20 other verses. Or if you read a story in the Bible, it's about you. If you read a story in the Old Testament, for instance, it's you. That's about Jesus. That's about your life with Christ. I don't care if it's about Jehoshaphat, David. It doesn't matter. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Whatever you read in the Old Testament, that's for you. That's your story. You were in the lion's den. That's you. That's Jesus. That's you and Jesus. It has nothing to do with Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. It has to do with you. You are a sojourner. You are a pilgrim in this world, just like they were, living in tents. Abraham had no connection to this world. He wouldn't even take the spoils. He had no connection with this world. The world was dead to him, and he was dead to the world. That's what the Bible says. I've been crucified unto the world, and the world's been crucified unto me. This world means nothing to me. I hate this world. I hate its order. I don't hate the people, but I hate the order. I hate the lust. I hate the greed. I hate the fear. I hate all that. I don't like this world. I don't like what they eat. I don't like what they do. I don't like how they pervert everything. I hate this world. But I can still be happy because I have in heaven. If we didn't have a hope for the future, if we didn't have an eternal hope, then we might as well eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow you die. But we do. We have a hope, a future. It cannot be changed, altered, perishable. It's an inheritance that's incorruptible. And it's sure. So when Julia leaves this world, get whatever you believe, raptured or whatever, or passes away, that's not that big of a deal. Because she's already a new creation. She's already in heaven. She's just going to see it. Right? We'll pray for her in a minute, but my sister's, Leah's sister, Judy, who we love dearly, is in the hospital. But, you know, she didn't take care of herself. She ate bad and all that. She has diabetes and all that, but she's got a lot of problems right now. So she's in the hospital, and we know her nephew, her sons, and she has a husband, and they totally depend on her because she, like, you know, should I take a pen or this? So she. Anyway, so Judy is in the hospital right now, and she's has a UTI, and she's. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Anyway, she's thrashed. They have her tied to the bed because she's thrashing around and acting crazy, and she can't remember who anybody is. And they had to amputate her toe, and she had all kinds of problems. But Judy is awesome. I used to sit down at the table with her, and we'd talk about the Lord, and she's a really neat person, but she had no self-control. I'm not condemning her at all, because I don't have any either. It's just a miracle that I'm in as good as health as I'm in. It's a miracle, I'm telling you. But anyway, so she needs prayer, and her family needs prayer, because it'd be devastating. And, you know, but you know, either way, God will take care of her. If she dies, then we'll rejoice the fact that she's in heaven, she's with her Father, she's resting with the Lord. Or whatever God wants to do. I don't know what God wants to do. I always ask the Lord, I go, Lord, is this a sin unto death? A sickness unto death? Or what? I don't know. Like when Leah's dad passed away, he was 95. You know, how do you pray? You have to ask the Lord, because you don't know. But all I know is God wants life, and life abundantly. That I know. And he'll always do above and beyond what you can ask or think. Way above. So, even if she... God uses everything for good. When Leah's dad died, they for some reason, it was a miracle, by the way. My mother-in-law wanted me to do the funeral. And I don't, probably because of Leah. I don't know why. Whoops. This thing's not that strong. But anyway, they wanted me to do the funeral. Then I did it. But it was good because I knew Leah's dad and I could preach the gospel. And people were touched by Jesus because of the gospel. Not because of me, but because that's all you got to do at weddings and weddings and funerals is preach the gospel. And you pretty much do a good job. Right? It's a great opportunity because everybody's there. Yeah. Even all the relatives that aren't even Christians, everybody's there. And same with my brother-in-law. When Marshall died, my friend Marshall died, I did his funeral too, but I did preach the gospel. That's it. You don't have to even brag on the person or say how wonderful they are. You just preach the gospel, and people are pretty happy with that. So it's good. So God is good. No matter what happens, God is good.
Yes.
So Father, we thank you for this time of communion. You said that you should do this as oft as you meet together until the Lord returns. So we'll be doing this maybe for a few more times till Jesus comes back. So we thank you, Father, for the covenant that you made with your people, Israel, and also with all the Gentiles, all the nations will be blessed through Abraham, through Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who died for us on the cross. His body was broken, and he took all the sins of the whole world, not just ours, but the whole world, and his body, death on the cross. And then he rose again from the dead, and he is seated at the throne of grace. He's seated right there at the right hand of the Father. And that one day he will come back and do his thing. And he'll be the King of Kings and Lord of all. Everybody will know it. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess. So we thank you for that. And we thank you for that. On the night he was betrayed, he took the cup and took the bread and he broke the bread. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you," for us, not for himself, but for us. So we take the bread. The body of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And that same night, he took the cup and he gave thanks. Wow, it was a miracle. He was thanking God that he was going to take a cup. This cup of suffering, this cup, this blood that was shed for the remission of sins, so that we might be justified freely by his grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. So we just boast in Jesus that his blood was shed. So he said, take this cup of this New Testament, which is given for you, and it's eternal. no more. Sins are washed away. God doesn't remember them anymore. And so we thank you for healing Judy, for healing anyone here who has an infirmity in any way, Lord, mentally, physically, in Jesus' name, that you would heal them, Father, so that they might know that there is a God in heaven and that you do all things well. And we just take this cup now in remembrance and obedience to your word. In Jesus' name, let's take the cup. Thank you, Father, for this day. This is a day you have made, and we are happy, peaceful. Thank you that everything you do is incorruptible. It's eternal. And thank you for our inheritance, God, that's in heaven, that is incorruptible, undefiled, and that it doesn't fade away like gold does, like money does, like our lives do. But it's eternal. It's unchangeable. So we thank you for that, and we love you. We thank that even now you've already given us a down payment, an earnest of the Spirit. I thank you that everyone here would be baptized in the Holy Spirit even now as I speak. And Lord God, that their lives would be completely changed by the power in the blood of Jesus Christ, by his forgiveness, and by your power. We live by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of Jesus Christ, not by ourselves. So we don't know what we're doing, and we have no power. But we thank you, Father, that we set ourselves to seek the Lord, and you give us all that stuff for free. And we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.